أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. We were discussing a hadith from the book of Al-Kafi, the section, or as Al-Kulayni calls it, Kitab al-Salah, the book of Salah and prayer. And we were in, I believe, the second bab or chapter of this section or kitab or book. And we arrived at verse, at hadith number, rather, 8. Ali ibn Muhammad, this is one of the teachers of Shaykh al-Kulayni, a reliable person. An Sahl ibn Ziyad, we discussed him before. An al-Nawfili, an al-Sakuni. We've discussed both of those before. As-Sakuni is Sunni. And again, as you see, as we mentioned before, an Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam al-Sadiq, the Imam says, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. Although the Imam does reference the Holy Prophet and mention his name, and he quotes the Prophet having said something when the Imam is speaking to his Shia companions as well. But in regards to As-Sakuni, generally it's pretty much, I don't recall an instance where the Imam does not quote the Prophet. And for Shias, a lot of times the Imam does not mention that because they already know whatever the Imam says is the saying of the Prophet, is the Sunnah of the Prophet, is the explanation of the Quran. They come from that source. Anyhow, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لا يزال الشيطان ذعرا من المؤمن. Shaitan continues to be afraid of a mu'min ما حافظ على الصلوات الخمس, as long as that mu'min is protective of and takes care of and preserves على الصلوات الخمس, the five daily prayers. فَإِذَا ضَيَّعَهُنَّ, if that believer does not do حفظ, does not do what the verse says and the Imam mentions here, حافظ, he doesn't do that, doesn't take care of that prayer, he doesn't make sure that he performs it correctly as God has mentioned, those parameters that God has set on prayer in terms of the superficial aspect, the wudu, the timing, the format of it, is it, am I traveling, am I not traveling? If I'm traveling, I pray one way. If I'm not traveling, a different way. And so on and so forth. That was hafadhu, hifz, or doing muhafadha ala salah, as the hadith mentioned earlier. That's what that meant. The opposite of that is tadhir, to destroy it, to deface it, to destructure it, to distort it. This is تَضْيِعُ. فَإِذَا ضَيَّعَهُنَّ. So even though a person may be doing those prayers, but they're careless of the time. When they're doing it, they don't really care about how they do the wudu. They don't really care to figure out, are they traveling, are they not traveling, to make sure that they do the ruku' right, the sujood right. You just do a sloppy job at it. فَإِذَا ضَيَّعَهُنَّ. If a person does تَضْيِعُ, if they destroy it, if they distort it, تَجَرَّعَ عَلَيْهِ. So shaitan, as the hadith says, is afraid of approaching a mu'min. When a mu'min is praying and doing the five daily prayers properly in terms of the structure of it, the parameters, they're doing that. If they don't, then he gets tajarra. Tajarra is to, to feel courageous against something, to have the courage or have the audacity to do something. So when you're afraid, you don't have the courage to move forward. So shaitan at a distance is watching a mu'min, and as long as He wants to, but he's afraid of approaching. But once he sees that mu'min is not taking care of the prayer, like, oh, now I can go. He feels the courage and he moves towards him. فَأَدْخَلَهُ فِي الْعَظَائِمِ. And then he makes him go and commit great sins. Okay? This is perhaps what is intended when we see, we've heard ulama say, they use the verse of the Qur'an, I haven't seen them mentioning this hadith, but the verse of the Qur'an says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Their interpretation of it, I don't recall doing a thorough research of the verse, I'm just telling you what some of the mufassirin that we have heard explain of the verse. It says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ, they say the translation and the explanation is this, surely, salah, tanha means it forbids. The prayer forbids of fahsha, ugly deeds, and munkar, wrong deeds. So they would say if a person performs the prayer, then that preserves them from committing sins, great sins. This is what this verse is, whether that's the correct interpretation or not, because we've heard another interpretation of that verse. But this truth and reality of the prayer, a person who is careful of doing the prayers properly, according to the hadith of the Holy Prophet that Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi tells us, and it's recorded here, is that if a person is constantly careful with their prayer, that helps them and protects them from shaitan getting them into very ugly deeds. And then once we don't take care of that prayer, that's when shaitan feels courageous against us. He comes forward, he starts tricking us into doing very wrong things, and he gets us into فَأَدْخَلَهُ فِي الْعَظَامِ. Hadith number 9, Muhammad ibn Yahya, this is the teacher of Qulayni, we've mentioned him a number of times. عن أحمد ابن محمد ابن عيسى, this is الأشعري القمي. عن الحسين ابن سعيد, this is الأهوازي, very reliable. عن صفوان ابن يحيى, a very reliable, one of the, they call him أصحاب الإجماع, because Sheikh الطوسي says in his book العدة في أصول الفقه, أجمعت العصابة على تصحيحه, or أجمعت العصابة, if I remember the wording correctly, that whatever he narrates, he does not narrate, he does not do irsal. In other words, whether he mentions the narrator or he doesn't, the person he narrates from is a thiqa. There's three of them. One of them is Safwan ibn Yahya. Anyhow, Hussein ibn Sa'id, عن Safwan ibn Yahya, عن العيس ibn al-Qasim. This is a very reliable companion of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. Qala Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Narrating from Imam al-Sadiq. Very, very good chain of transmission. The Imam, according to the account, says, Wallahi innahu layati ala al-rajuli khamsuna sana wa ma qabilallahu minhu salatan wahida. Wallah, he swears by God that this happens to a person. And he's obviously talking about mu'min, who prays, who's the one who performs their prayer. Mu'minin, muslimin, that care about prayer somewhat at least. He says, Wallah, by God, surely 50 years go by a person, لَيَأْتِ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ خَمْسُونَ سَنَةً while وَمَا قَبِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ صَلَاةً وَحْدَةً. One prayer is not accepted from them by Allah. They perform prayers for 50 years, one prayer is not accepted. Why? He's performing the prayers. Well, it's going to explain. The Imam is going to explain. فَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ. And then for the person, for us to understand, the Imam, he explains it in a certain way. Let's read. فَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَشَدُّ مِنْ هَذَا. What's worse than this? First he says, before explaining. إنكم لتعرفون من جيرانكم وأصحابكم من لو كان يصلي لبعضكم ما قبلها منه. There's people, so some of you know, some of your neighbors, people around you that you see them praying. من لو كان يصلي لبعضكم, if they do salah for you on your behalf, ما قبلها منه, you wouldn't accept it from them. Why? This is the point. لاستخفافه بها. When you look at them get involved with that prayer, you see their slot. They don't take it seriously. Istighfaf is to consider something khafif, to consider something light. They take it lightly. It's clear, they didn't take it seriously. So, we gotta pray. Just do a sloppy job at it. So istighfaf essentially is the inner feeling towards prayer, and it can manifest in a person not doing the wudu right, not learning the rules right, not applying the rules, you know, not really caring if the rules apply or not. These can be examples of it, but those points themselves, not applying the rules, is not necessarily istighfaf. You may forget. You're considering the prayer important, but you forgot you didn't make wudu. So not making wudu before prayer is not necessarily istighfaf. Maybe considered important, but I forgot that I didn't have wudu. I thought I had made it. Istighfaf is an inner thing. A person may even have some of those parameters right, but they don't really consider it important. So istighfaf is really the feeling of taking it lightly. Of course, there's different levels of this. Meaning there's a bare minimum seriousness that is required, which is to preserve the form, the parameters that are there in terms of wudu, in terms of najasa, tahara, in terms of the form of prayer, and you know the intention, things that we talked about in previous sessions. There's bare minimum. Even when you have those bare minimum requirements, there's higher levels of considering the prayer important that we still don't have. We still may feel that, you know, I don't want to do the prayer, but I push myself and I do it. Well, that still shows that I'm not considering the prayer as important as it is. Be it that I'm considering it important enough to push myself against my whims, against my desires, against my laziness. I'm pushing myself, so I do consider it important enough to do that. But if I considered it more important, I wouldn't even need to push myself. You don't push yourself when it comes to, if you're into like watching sports, when an important sport show is on, you don't push yourself, you run to it. If it's something that you're interested in, you consider important, and you like it, you run to it, you want it. If I'm pushing myself, that means I still, but there's a bare minimum. Okay, below that is considered taking it lightly, okay? If I have the bare minimum standard, I'm not taking it lightly, but I'm not taking it as important as I would. Anyhow, back to the hadith. لِاسْتِخْفَافِهِ بَهُ Because this person takes it lightly. If you see this person praying on your behalf, you're like, oh, forget this. I'm not going to accept that, as the hadith says. Then the imam goes on to explain, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الْحَسَنِ God does not accept except for good. He only accepts good things. فَكَيْفَ يَقْبَلُ مَا يُسْتَخَفُّ بِهِ How can God accept what has been considered or taken lightly? It's not good. When it's taken lightly, it's not good. Any job that is taken lightly, you washing dishes, if you take it lightly, you're going to do a sloppy job. A person who knows what washing dishes, the way they're supposed to look, like, oh, this doesn't look, please get out of the kitchen, let me do it. You know, when I try to do the dishes, I was like, get out of the kitchen. You're forcing yourself to do it, you don't know how to do it. Okay, well, don't take it lightly. Okay, for God, how can He accept something that has been taken lightly? When it's taken lightly, it's not good. Hadith number 10, Muhammad ibn Yahya an Ahmad ibn Muhammad, as we said in this tabaqa, as they say technically, which means this period of time, and this that part of the link, the teacher of Sheikh Kulaini's teacher. There's two of them, Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Isa and Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Khalid. But because the previous hadith had Muhammad ibn Yahya and Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Isa, most likely it's the same person. Anyhow, either way, it's okay. An Ali ibn al-Hakam, from what I recall, he's considered reliable, at least according to our opinion. An Hisham ibn Salim, this is a very well known, this is not Hisham ibn al-Hakam. There's two companions by the name of Hisham, or some call him Husham. The companions of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, one is Hisham ibn Salim, and the other is Hisham ibn al-Hakam. Hisham ibn al-Hakam, we will find him in the ahadith that are related to aqidah, related to beliefs. In the first two volumes of Al-Kafi, you'll find him in chains of transmission. This one is Hisham ibn Salim. He's not into those discussions of aqidah and debates and so on and so forth. Rather, we will find him in ahadith related to fiqh, some ahadith related to history, and so on and so forth. Other topics other than aqidah. Anyhow, عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إذا قام العبد في الصلاة فخفف صلاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى لملائكته أما ترون إلى عبدي كأنه يرى أن قضاء حوائجه بيد غيري أما يعلم أن قضاء حوائجه بيدي. Very interesting lining, wording of this truth and this reality. He said, when a servant, a slave, an abd, us, a person, stand in prayer, فَخَفَّفَ صَلَاتَهُ, take it lightly, it's a sloppy job, I'm like, I have to do this. Sloppy wudu, get up, force myself, Allah, bismillah, I'm just going. An example, this is an example, there may be other ways of it. When this person prays in this way, doesn't take it seriously, قال الله تبارك وتعالى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as the hadith says, تبارك وتعالى. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَلَائِكَةَ, to his angels, أَمَا تَرَونَ, do you not see إِلَى عَبْدِي, do you not see this عَبْد, كَأَنَّهُ يَرَى أَنَّ قَضَاءَ حَوَاجِهِ بِيَدِ غَيْرِ, it seems like he thinks that the fulfillment of his needs are at the mercy of, at the hands of, or in the hands of someone other than me. Am I ya'alam, does he not know that anna qada'a hawa'ajih, the fulfillment of his needs, is in my hands? I'm fulfilling your needs. I'm taking care of you. Do you not realize that? This wording, I translated it for you. Think about what this is suggesting to us, what this is telling us. The initial understanding that comes to mind, again, is a certain expression of this. The reminder that, look, what you get is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you not want what you need? Things that you realize you need. Do you not want them? Do you not want God to give it to you? If in a human-to-human relationship, there's a person that I need something from, there's a need that this person can fulfill, others cannot. Now, if he asks, or if he either asks me or tells me, do this, if I know that my needs are in this guy's hands, my boss, for example, okay, from our human perspective, this isn't a correct understanding, but this is the way we feel. Or my boss, he controls, I can be fired. If my boss tells me to do something, I'm going to do it right. Why? Because I know my paycheck is going to get signed by this guy. This guy is going to give me my paycheck. Do you not know that all your needs are actually in God's hands? He's told you to perform the prayer. You're doing the sloppy job. Do you not want your needs fulfilled? Don't you have needs? So this is one way of understanding it. This reminder that all my needs are fulfilled by God. If God doesn't fulfill those needs, if God doesn't give me sustenance, I'll be homeless on the streets. If God doesn't take care of me, then I won't have food. If God doesn't take care of me, I won't have oxygen. If God doesn't, God takes care of all these things. If God doesn't take care of me, I won't have this job. I can get fired any second. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing all these things. Do you not want that? If you want it, this is one understanding. There may be some other understandings that I'll leave to you. This was a basic explanation, and we did give you the translation. It is important, and we encourage everybody to think on their own and see what they can extract and derive from these ahadith. Hadith number 11, Ali ibn Ibrahim an Abi. These two narrators of hadith, both Ali ibn Ibrahim and his father, Ibrahim ibn Hashim. These two are very well-known, reliable scholars compilers of hadith. They compiled hadith. They're narrators of hadith. An Hammad. Wa, it mentions, so Hammad, I was going to say Hammad, there's two of them. There's Hammad ibn Isa, and then there's Hammad, I forget his father's name, but there's two Hammad. It was on the top of my head, but then suddenly it left. Anyhow, there's Hammad ibn Isa, there's another Hammad, they're both reliable, but it seems from the second chain that this is Hammad ibn Isa. So Ali ibn Ibrahim, an Abi, an Hammad, wa Muhammad ibn Yahya. Muhammad ibn Yahya is again Sheikh Kulaini's teacher. So we go back. There's two chains that Sheikh Al-Kulaini has to Hammad ibn Isa. Ali ibn Ibrahim, from his father, from Hammad, also Muhammad ibn Yahya, and Ahmad ibn Muhammad, and Hammad. So two chains to this person, Hammad ibn Isa. And then Hammad ibn Isa, and Hariz, and Zurara. Hariz ibn Abdullah al-Sajistani, the student of Zurara, and then from Abi Ja'far, alayhi salatu wassalam, Imam al-Baghir. قال the Imam said إذا ما أدى الرجل صلاته واحدة صلاة واحدة تامة قبلت جميع صلاته. Let me translate word for word. This one's I found it to be a little difficult. In other words, it needed more attention. Let's see if we can understand what the hadith is telling us. If a person, so literally, it says if a man, obviously we explained before, there's no gender intended here. This is how language works here. There's got to be an indication where gender is intended in a language that gender is part of it. Any word you use pretty much has gender in Arabic. So al-rajul here doesn't mean a man and not a woman. It means a person. إذا ما أدى الرجل صلاة واحدة تامة. If a person, or literally a man, performs, adda is to do something, okay? Adda al-rajul performs what? Salatan. Salatan already means a prayer, okay? When you say a prayer in English, a prayer is one, okay? But then, to emphasize the oneness, it says salatan wahidatan, one. One prayer is done, tammatan, complete. Okay. Now we learned in the other hadith that tamam of a prayer, to do it tam, is to make sure the wudu is done right, the qibla, the waqt, the timing of it, the structure of it, the intention, the basic intention that is required. This is a complete prayer, okay? So it doesn't mean a prayer that is way up there, salat of the ashab of Amirul Mu'mineen. It means a prayer that's done right, okay, complete. It has all the requirements. If one prayer, a person does one prayer completely, قُبِلَتْ جَمِيعُ صَلَاتِهِ, all his prayer, جَمِيعُ صَلَاتِهِ, I tried to be very literal in that translation. جَمِيع means all, okay? صَلَاتِهِ, it's in a sense singular, but in combination, it means all his prayers, okay? In English, we would say all his prayers. We would use plural, all his prayers, okay? We won't say all his prayer. There's reasons for that. I don't want to get into linguistics. So if one prayer is done with all the requirements, so it's complete, it's not missing wudu, it's not missing tahara, it's tahara in terms of najasa and tahara, it's not missing qibla, it's not missing the time, it's not missing all the components that make a complete prayer, they're all there. One prayer is done. all his prayers are accepted, the hadith says. وَإِن كُنَّ غَيْرَ تَامَّتْ, even if those other ones are not complete. One prayer. One complete prayer. وَإِن أَفْسَدَهَا كُلَّهَا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْهَا. If that person destroys or corrupts, rather, the more correct or the more exact equivalent of afsada is to corrupt. If he corrupts them all his, none of, no, not even a single prayer is done with the parameters that are there. Either the wudu is messed up, or the najasa and tahara is messed up, or the qiyam is messed up, or the qibla is messed up, or the ruku' is messed up, the sujood is messed up, something is messed up. There's not a single correct prayer in this guy's track record. لَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْهَا, none of them are accepted. وَلَمْ يُحْسَبْ لَهُ نَافِلَةٌ, a nafila then is not going to be accepted. No nafila will be accepted from this person. وَلَا فَرِيضَةٌ, and no fariḍa, no wajib at all. None of the wajibat that the person does is going to be accepted. Then it says, وَإِنَّمَا تُقْبَلُ النَّافِلَةُ بَعْدَ قَبُولِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. A nafila is only accepted, or a nafila is accepted only after بَعْدَ قَبُولِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. When a fariḍa, fariḍa is wajib, nafila is extra. Right, the wajibat, the obligations, there's a bare minimum requirement, the necessities, the essentials, things that are necessary, those are the obligations. That's called fariḍa, okay? And nafila is extra. Extra ones are only accepted if you have the fara'idh, if you have the fariḍa, if you have the wajib done right, or if you have, to be very precise here, it says, the nafila will be accepted only if the fariḍa is accepted. And we explain what nafila means and what fariḍa means. وَإِذَا لَمْ يُؤَدِّ الرَّجُلُ الْفَرِيضَةَ, if a man, a person in other words, does not perform الْفَرِيضَةَ, the فَرِيضَةَ, then لَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ النَّافِلَةَ, a nafila is not going to be accepted. You have to do your fara'idh. وَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَتِ النَّافِلَةُ لِيَتِمَّ بِهَا مَا أُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْفَرِيضَةَ. And nafila has been made only to complete with it what has been corrupted of the fariḍa. So I tried to translate this hadith as best I could, and I think I got the meaning across the translation only. Now, once we get the translation, then besides the other ahadith that we had, remember, we had in, I'm not sure if it was the last session or one before that, we had hadith that said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept, it was, let me tell you the hadith number 2, I think it was in the same chapter. Yes, it was hadith number 4. كل سهو في الصلاة يطرح منها غير أن الله تعالى يتم بالنوافل. Any sahw, sahw would be, as we mentioned, the opposite of dhukr, to be attentive, the opposite of it, which means to be negligent. I'm not really paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm not, my mind is completely off. Okay, all of those, yutrahu minha, it's all left or thrown away. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes with the nawafil. That's mentioned in that hadith. I'm going to come back to the hadith we were discussing. Besides the other ahadith that we already read within this hadith, remember the last line in the hadith says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَتِ النَّافِلَةُ لِيَتِمَّ بِهَا مَا أُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. The nafila, the extras, the mustahab prayers, have only been made to complete with it what has been corrupted of the fariḍa. That is said at the end. But then, it talked about, it used the word وَإِنْ أَفْسَدَهَا كُلَّهَا, the fara'id, the wajib prayers. Okay. Or initially, that's what it seemed. Let's look at this. If a person corrupts all their prayers, none are going to be accepted. And then it says, and no nafila is accepted. Okay. So it seemed like, what is this trying to tell us? Is this trying to tell us? So if all the wajib prayers, they're corrupt, and no nafila is accepted if they're all corrupt, then how does it say at the end that nafila prayers are made in order to fix up and to complete the corrupt wajib prayers? How does this work? Let's go back. For myself, it was a little confusing. Let me read it again and then see if we can see where I made the mistake in either translating or in my own understanding. Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhi, according to the hadith, says, إِذَا مَا أَدَّ الرَّجُلُ صَلَاةً وَاحِدَةً تَامَّةً قُبِلَتْ جَمِيعُ صَلَاتِهِمْ. If a person performs one prayer completely, all his prayers are accepted. Even if they are غير tammat. Here, let's pause right here. Does it say wajib or mustahab? It doesn't. It just says his salah. Does it say salawat al-khams, the five daily prayers? It doesn't. It just says one complete prayer. Everything else is accepted. Even if they are incomplete. Then, let's move to the next passage. وَإِنْ أَفْسَدَهَا كُلَّهَا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْهَا. If he corrupts all his prayers, then none of them will be accepted. Okay. Does it say wajib or mustahab? It doesn't specify whether this is only wajibat or all his prayers. It says salat. Salat is inclusive unless specified otherwise. So far it seems it might be talking about all his prayers. So out of all the prayers, let's see if this meaning, this understanding is going to make sense. If a person does not have a single complete prayer, not even a single one, then none of his prayers, mustahab, wajib, none of them are accepted. If he has one prayer that's accepted, everything else is accepted. Let's see if we can complete this sentence and see if it conflicts with our understanding of the rest of it, and then see what part of it we need to correct again. So, وَلَمْ يُحْسَبْ لَهُ نَافِلَةٌ وَلَا فَرِيضَةٌ. Here, it says nafila or farida or not accepted. Nafila, does it say salat or non-salat? It doesn't, just say nafila. And faridha, does it say salat wajib or a salat that is faridha? A prayer that's wajib? No, it just says wajib. Nafila and faridha. وَإِنَّمَا تُقْبَلُ النَّافِلَةُ بَعْدَ قَبُولِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. This is a part that I think we need to be a little more attentive here. Nafila is only accepted after faridha is accepted, after the wajib is accepted. وَإِذَا لَمْ يُؤَدِّ الرَّجُلُ الْفَرِيضَةَ لَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ النَّافِلَةَ. And if a person does not do their faridha, nafila is not going to be accepted. وَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَتِ النَّافِلَةُ لَيْتَمَّ بِهَا مَا أُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Nafila has been made to complete what has been corrupted of the faridha. Okay, it seems like this was a complete understanding. There's no part that conflicted. Two points, basically. This hadith is giving us two major points here. One is regarding salah in general. If one salah is done complete, all the prayers of a person are completed. And if not even a single one is done right, then none of his prayers are accepted. So you need to get at least one in. And then if no prayer is accepted, no nafila or faridha is going to be accepted either. Okay. Nothing is going to be accepted. And we have this in other ahadith. If the prayer of a person is accepted, everything is accepted. If the prayer is not accepted, nothing else. Then the second point is this. إِنَّمَا تُقْبَلُ النَّافِلَ بَعْدَ قَبُولِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Nafila is only accepted if the Fariḍa is accepted. What do you mean? What does this exactly mean? It means this: وَإِذَا لَمْ يُؤَدِّ الرَّجُلُ الْفَرِيضَةَ لَمْ يُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ النَّافِلَةَ. So it's not saying if you didn't do the wajib prayers completely, and it was therefore not completely accepted, then your nafila prayers are useless because of what is said at the end. Nafila prayers complete the wajib prayers in terms of qabul. Any part of sahu, as the other hadith had, nafila is going to be. So what's this second point? The second point is, if you're not doing your wajibat, nawafil are not going to save you. Nawafil are only there to fix the problems of the farad, of the wajibat. So you have to do the wajibat. You have to be working on your wajibat. You have to do your wajibat. If you're doing your wajibat, and as the hadith says, and وَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَتِ النَّافِلَةُ لِيَتِمَّ بِهَا مَا أُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Nafila is for a person who does their wajibat, and then there's part of the wajib that is fasid one way or another. I didn't realize it, or my mind was off, as the other hadith said, sahu occurred. For that person, nafila comes in and helps. But a person who doesn't even do their wajibat, nafila is not going to work. Hadith number 12. وَبِهَذَا الْإِسْنَادِ عَنْ حَرِيزِ عَنِ الْفُضَيْلِ. Hadith is the same hadith. It says بِهَذَا الْإِسْنَادِ. هَذَا الْإِسْنَادِ is the same isnad that we had in the previous hadith, or the same sanad, the chain of transmission, all the way until حَرِيز. Remember, we had حَرِيز عَنْ زُرَارَ عَنْ أَبِي جَعْفَرَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Here, the same sanad all the way to حَرِيز, but then حَرِيز does not narrate from زُرَارَ in this case. حريز عن الفضيل. This is الفضيل بن يسار, another companion. قال سألت أبا جعفر. Again from Imam al-Baqir, سلام الله عليه. Says I asked Imam al-Baqir عن قول الله عز وجل الذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون. There's a verse in the Holy Quran that we just read. That was the wording of the verse. It's Surah Mu'minun, verse number 9. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Okay. What does this mean? It means, it could be a number of things that are meant here, but from the answer, we realize what aspect is the question. The Imam says, قَالَ هِيَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. This refers to the faridah, the wajib prayers. Okay. Wajib prayers. For wajib prayers, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. They protect and they preserve the form of it in terms of time, in terms of qibla, in terms of tahara, the wudu they do, and so all those parameters that are there. That's يُحَافِظُونَ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ. Okay, or الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Surah Mu'minun, verse number 9. The Imam says, this verse refers to the wajib prayers. Mu'minun are, so the emphasis there is the wajib prayers. Then there's another verse in the same, I believe, chapter, or no, this it says, yes, I guess I made a mistake there. There is another verse that, oh yeah, okay, that's a different thing. That's about khushu', the other verse in Surah Mu'minun about prayers. Mu'minun in their prayers, there's two verses there. One of them has to do with yuhafidhun. For a second, I thought that the other verse is about this dawam that's mentioned here, but I remember that's about khushu'. I think it's the second verse of Surah Mu'minun. It talks about khushu'. Fi salawatuhim khashi'un, or something along those lines, the idea of having khushu' in their prayers. But this one is not, it's a different chapter, Surah Al-Ma'arij, verse 23. It says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Mu'minun are the ones who, ala salatihim, in regards to their prayers, they're da'imun. Da'imun means they are, I wanted to use the word consistent, but not in the sense of, you know, when the time comes in, they're consistent. No. Having dawam means you're consistently, or the other word is continuously. Okay? Continuously, non-stop, da'im. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. قَالَ هِيَ النَّافِلَةِ. The Imam said this is nafila. So the idea of a mu'min being continuous with their prayer is the nafila prayers, the mustahab prayers. Does this mean that a mu'min is not consistent with their prayers? No, when you're hafidhun, they're preserving the prayer. So when the time comes in, they do their wajib prayers. That's what that means. Well, if that's the same thing in regards to mustahab prayers, then the imam should have said it applies to both prayers. So when the time of nafila comes in, I do it and I do it right. Well, that's yuhafidhun ala salawatihim. وَالَّذِينَهُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَفِظُونَ So the imam should have said, this is regarding prayer, whether it's mustahab or wajib. So the da'im, this dawam or continuousness, consistency, if we may, cannot be referring to the same idea that's mentioned in the first verse that was yuhafidhun. The word yuhafidhun was, if you're consistent with making sure you're doing the prayer when the time comes in, you're doing it properly, that, according to the wording in the verse, that's called yuhafidhun. And the imam says that's about wajib prayers. Da'imun must have another meaning, and it applies to mustahab prayers. This dawam means they're constantly in prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ Perhaps one of the reasons why, or one of the other indications after we read the imam saying this is nafila, it opens our minds. See, the first verse says الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ It's plural. Okay, so each prayer when it comes in, but this one, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ It's like one constant salah. They're constantly in salah. Nafila is like that. You're not constantly in wajib prayers. A believer cannot be constantly in wajib prayers, because when you're doing your work to earn for your family, which if that's your intention, because God has told you to do that, that's jihad in the way of Allah, then while you're doing that, you're not in your wajib prayer. Your wajib prayer, the dhuhr time needs to come in. You leave that other occupation, your work that you're doing. You make your wudu, make sure your clothes are tahir, make sure your body is tahir. You go and find the qibla, you perform the prayer, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the prayer is over. So you're not constantly in salah. But nafila salah can be constant. Now the imam doesn't explain any further, he just leaves us with this note. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ Imam says this refers to nafila. There's some way that we could be constantly in prayer, mustahab prayer though, not wajib. Wajib prayer has a particular structure. Let me put this in there as well. We have a hadith based on which the ulama have given us, the maraji', the mujtahideen, this fatwa, that for mustahab prayers, those requirements of the wajib prayer are not necessary. And it's not something that you need a real serious excuse to avoid. For example, for wajib prayers, you have got to stop, face the qibla, and not make body movements where your body is moving around. You need to be calm. That doesn't mean your fingers on your hands or even your arms can't move at all. But you can't do jumping jacks, okay? And you can't be dancing around. You have to be calm. Your body needs to be calm. Facing the qibla, and all the other things, the way you do ruku, the way you go for sajda, all these are the requirements. That's what we said yuhafidhun means. You have to make sure that the prayer has those elements in it, okay? There's only one exception, in a sense, a general exception, to any one of those conditions, and that is, I can't do it. If I can't stand, like, okay, sit down and pray. If you can't bend for ruku', your back has an issue with it, then all right, don't do that ruku. If you can't go to sajda, if you can't find the qibla, there's certain. If you can't make wudu, then there's certain. There's an exception. So generally, when you can't, only when you can't, that's when you're allowed to perform that wajib prayer without those requirements. Qibla, for instance, I wanted to use this as an example. The verse of the Holy Quran says, to face, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, turn towards Masjid al-Haram, Baytullah al-Haram. Alright. Hadith says that that is related to wajib prayers. So for wajib prayers, you can't say, well, I don't really care what direction is, because the Quran says, أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, any direction you look, that is the face of God. Literally, that's what the translation goes, what that means for another time. But whatever direction, so you're facing, you want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak, well, the verse says, any direction, you're facing Him. So, you know, because the verse says, and the ahadith is explaining, that verse is related to wajib prayers. فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Then hadith says, the verse that says, أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, this is related to mustahab prayers. So for mustahab prayers, you can be walking and you're engaged in mustahab prayers. You could be laying down, you're engaged in mustahab prayers. You can be involved with work at home or at the workplace, you're involved with prayer. Okay. So there's ways that this is possible, that it is said. Even during sleep, remember, there's hadith that says if you are in the state of tahara, if you make wudu, for instance, before you go to bed, then your sleep constitutes as salah. Okay, so you can be, when you, while you're up, you're either in wajib prayers, or when you're doing anything else, you have found a way of being in the state of prayer. And then when you sleep, you've found a way of being in the state of prayers. And therefore, a person can reach a point where الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَوَأَمُونَ. Let me complete this with an account regarding Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayh. Amir al-Mu'mineen was very active during his khilafah. Yet he used to do 10,000, some have said, or 1,000, excuse me, not 10,000, 1,000 rak'ah. I don't know why, where the 10 came. It says 1,000. 1,000 rak'ah of prayer. Well, he was busy at night. That's when he used to go and visit those who were in need of help. Then how could he have done those 1,000 rak'ah of prayer? Because of this, some of the prayer that is mustahab does not have those limitations. Amir al-Mu'mineen, while he's sitting with them, is in the state of salah. We need to identify how to do that, to be able to implement this teaching. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. The Imam says, you can have it, because this is referring to nafila prayers. Go find the rules and figure out how you can be constantly in the state of salah. Next hadith, hadith number 13. Muhammad ibn Yahya an Ahmad ibn Muhammad عن الحسين بن سعيد عن فضالة بن أيوب عن داود بن فرقد قال قلت لأبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. This chain of transmission has, I believe, فضالة بن أيوب. We didn't have him before. He's a reliable person. داود بن فرقد, I don't remember exactly from, I vaguely remember different opinions on, I can't recall exactly if Najashi or Shaykh al-Tusi has mentioned him to be thiqa or not. I remember there was a debate between ulama, or a dispute amongst ulama regarding him, but I could be mistaken regarding that. Based on my own research and my opinion, he's a reliable person. Dawood ibn Farqad qal qultu li Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam qawluhu ta'ala. He says, I said to Imam al-Sadiq, this verse, قوله تعالى, the word of God, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. The translation, surely the prayer has been upon the believers, كِتَابًا, a writing, or it's written, مَوْقُوتًا, timed. This is a poor translation. I can't think of anything better. موقوت has the element of time in it. Now, what does this exactly mean, موقوتا, كتابا موقوتا? He says, I asked Imam al-Sadiq salam Allah alayhi, قال كتابا ثابتا. This is why I said that's a bad, it's a poor translation. I was trying to, the closest meaning I could find to a word related to time, because waqt is included in the word mawqut. In other words, it's from that root, okay? But it doesn't necessarily mean time, okay? So it's something written for a time that perhaps would come to mind from what I said of the translation, but that's not it. So mawqut has various meanings and it could be referring to different things. The Imam says, kitaban thabita. Kitaban mawquta. The Imam says it means kitaban thabita. That means it's written and it's established. It's thabit. It doesn't change. Okay, it's a definite thing. And then the Imam continues to explain. Let's see what from this part what we can see the Imam is stressing on when he was explaining what kitaba mawquta means. He says, وَلَيْسَ إِنْ عَجَّلْتَ قَلِيلًا أَوْ أَخَّرْتَ قَلِيلًا بِالَّذِي يَضُرُّكَ مَا لَمْ تُضَيِّعْ تِلْكَ الْإِضَاعَةَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولُ لِقَوْمٍ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا. He says, it's not that if you عَجَّلْتَ قَلِيلًا, عَجَّلْت is to hurry, hasten a little bit. أو أخرت. أخرت is the opposite. You postpone. قليلاً, a little. It isn't the case that if you hasten or haste a bit or postpone a bit, بالذي يضرك, that's not something that's going to harm you. This is part of one of the ahadith that explains what we mentioned in one of the other sessions, and we will get to a hadith that talk about the importance of time and the earlier time being better instead of postponing. Okay, but we have the likes of this hadith as well. Like, look, if you haste a little bit or you hurry a little bit, if you try to do it earlier or you postpone a little bit, that little bit of time back and forth, a little earlier, a little later, that's not going to be hurting you. بالذي يضرك ما لم تضيع تلك الإضاعة. As long as this postponing or doing it a little earlier does not lead to ما لم تضيع, it doesn't lead to تضيع, or the other word the Imam uses from the same root, a slightly different form, الإضاعة. Okay, as long as it doesn't lead to تضيع or إضاعة, which then the Imam says, he uses a reference from the Quran regarding that. He says, because God has said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولُ لِقَوْمٍ, God said in regards to a people, أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Okay, this is the part. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَةِ. They did إِضَاعَ in regards to the prayer, and they followed their desires, اتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا. It led to problems, or they will see bad things, something along those lines. I'm not too sure what some of those words, the exact translation or equivalent will be. Anyhow, this part, اضاعوا الصلاة, is the part that the Imam is referring to. It says, look, doing it a little earlier, a little later, is not going to cause an issue as long as you don't do tathir. So in other words, sometimes maybe time and postponing can be tathir. Remember, we had a hadith before this that talked about istighfaf, taking the prayer lightly. Sometimes postponing is a result of istighfaf, taking it lightly, not taking it seriously. And sometimes it isn't. Prayer is important, but I think God has given me time from this time to that time. Okay, that tells me He wants me to do it between this time and that time. Right now I'm feeling a little tired, or I'm with a believer And we don't have too much time together. Let me spend this time. God likes me to spend time with another believer and talk to them. Or this is an important session. We've seen ulama many times. It's based on these ahadith. I remember Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him for us. He'd come to Qom, and because of the large crowd, by the time he arrived at the station right by the haram of the Lady Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha to give his speech, and all these people have gathered, he's got important things to say. A couple of minutes perhaps after he begun his speech, or maybe around that time, I don't remember exactly, but it hit Salatul Dhuhr time. He delivered his speech. He didn't stop, because there's a whole setup. All these people have gathered from hours before, and things need to be said. It's his responsibility to say things right now. He can't say, okay, nobody can pray there. The conditions are not such that you can form lines. In fact, you got to finish this session, let everybody go and do their prayers wherever they can. So he needs to do his speech. That doesn't go against the teaching of doing, or it's not always do it early. Ayatollah Bahjad, we have stories, we saw that these are based on understandings. They're not the ma'sumin that we thought, okay, if they did something, then that means God has said it in the way the ma'sumin. No. However, these are people that have studied the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, and they act according to that. And what I'm saying is that the reason why we see that is this hadith, these ahadith here. Postponing a little or doing it earlier a little, that's not going to be an issue as long as you don't do tadhi'. The problem is tadhi'. Tadhi' would be either taking it lightly, not caring about it, or postponing it until the time is up. That again gets to the point of not caring about it. Why would you postpone it until the time is over? Because I don't really care if it's, okay, we'll do the qadha later. That means again, istighfar. The problem, tadhi', from the ahadith that we have read, it seems like the essential point regarding tadhi' would be the issue of taking the prayer lightly, inshallah, hadith number